Morning, everyone. Second daf of the seventh perek. Today's daf is daf Mem Dalet in Becharos. We started the seventh perek yesterday. Momim Sheba Adam, blemishes of a person, physical deformities of a person, mostly in regard to Kohanim, if not exclusively in regard to Kohanim. All of us could suffer from these deformities. We'll talk about such deformities as being left-handed. Oh, terrible deformity. And deformities is having, and I kid you not, having a belly button that protrudes to the outside, otherwise known in the scientific world as an Audi. Right, so I know, you didn't think I understood science and speak scientific terminology. So that's also going to be a terrible deformity. So I'm, you know, obviously partially kidding, but mostly serious. These are the blemishes of the body. Remember categorically, we spoke yesterday about having three categories of a mum shebeguf. Number one, six parak of b'choros, meaning everything we described regarding an animal, which is a blemish, which is mentioned in the Torah, so that's going to be a blemish by man as well. So this is category number one, and as the Gemara itself said yesterday, we saw the Gemara inside. This is two things. Number one, you're going to get Malchus. If you're in a Kohen and you're doing the Avoda and you have one of these types of blemishes, right, the category one blemishes. And number one, you're going to get Malchus. Number two is the Avoda's Mechulal. The Avoda's not a good, it's not a good Avoda. Okay, that's category number one. Category number two, Enu Shabla Zarusha Aaron. You don't look like the progeny of Aaron. So that's what we're going to be speaking about mostly in the seventh parak. All the different deformities where you just, Enu Shevel Lazarushal Aaron. I guess there was a prototype, a normal prototype of what a human looks like. And if you deviate too much, so then that is considered a deformity. And you cannot do the Avoda. Here, slight relaxation of the rules in that if you do the you shouldn't do the Avoda, but if you did the Avoda with only having a Category 2 blemish, so the Avoda is not Mechulal, meaning the Avoda is still going to work. So you shouldn't do the Avoda, but Bidyeved, the Avoda would work. And finally, are you going to get Malchus? It seems the answer is no. You're not going to get Malchus. That's what it seems like. Right, Rashi calls it a lav haba mechlal aseh. So it seems from Rashi that you're not going to get Malchus. And finally, category number three. Category number three is called Marasayan. Now, hard to put that into our type of terminology, what Marasayan means. It doesn't mean what Marasayan normally means. Marasayan just simply means it's unseemly. Right? It's just, there's nothing definitive I could say about it. It's not one of the blemishes that the Torah describes. It's not even an Enu Shabbat Bezer Shal Aaron. It's just unseemly. Again, going back to scientific terminology, it's pasnished. It's just not appropriate that you should be. There's a certain amount of tamimus, of perfection, of.
No, somebody has to look at it.
Right, I understand. So that's what I'm saying. It's not. Marasayan over here does not mean what we normally assume it to mean. Okay.
It doesn't look neat.
Correct. Does not look neat. Does not look right. Okay. That's the basic outline. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and let's continue from where we left off yesterday. So yesterday we spoke in broad terms. Yesterday we went through all the drashas. Right, we talked about the cross-pollination. So cross-pollination of the mumim that the Torah describes regarding people versus the mumim regarding animals. And basically, hainohach, meaning, right, they're basically overlap over one another. Whatever is true by an Adam is true by a behemoth. Whatever is true by a behemoth is true by Adam. That's all category number one. Obviously, with exception, I mentioned yesterday, people don't have tails. So the blemish of having a tail that's too short, it's not going to be a blemish regarding humans, right? We understand that.
But way too short.
Yeah, thankfully. But right. So that's obviously not in the discussion. But everything else is in the discussion. Okay. And then we're now in category number two, which the Mishnah talked about. Now you look back at the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the seventh parak, Memga Mamad Aleph. So the Mishnah listed seven different types of blemishes, and now we're going to go through all seven and give a definition of what all seven are. So if you see where I am on the Mem Gimel Amud Beis, about five lines down from the top of the page, starting with the words kilon. So what are these types of deformities that now we're describing? And again, remember, we're in category number two, Eino Shava Lezerusha Aharon. Just don't look like the descendant of Aharon. So kilon, da dami resha la achla. So your head looks like a lid. What exactly does that mean? So your head comes to a point, meaning it's not a rounded head, but it's a pointy head. Lifta da dami resha, lid gad gadale da lifta. And lifta is much like the word lefet, it's a turnip. Your head looks like a turnip, which seems to be that your chin comes down to a point. So instead of a rounded head, so either your head is right, either comes to a point on the top or comes to a point on the bottom. So these are now the two psalm of our Mishnah. Tana v'tzavaro omed be'emtza rosho. And the neck is situated, the head is situated in the middle of your neck, meaning that most of our heads, right, in other words, it's almost like flush in the back, between our back and our head. So this type of deformity is describing where basically your head is almost centered. It's almost like you're like a bobblehead doll, for those who understand the reference. Okay. Makvan, the dami racial makvan. You look like your head looks like a hammer. Now, what exactly does that mean? Rashi says, Arfo agove katsa berochev. Your orif, the back of your neck is round, and it's katsa berochev, and it's short along its wide side. I guess maybe a really stumpy neck. I'm not 100% sure. Sherosho shakut milafanav. Okay, next thing mentioned in the Mishnah. Your head is shakut milafanav. What exactly does that mean? Rashi says, Sherosho mishupam milafanav alachson. So it's diagonal, meaning its shape is that of a diagonal. Rashi says, it's almost like he's missing a piece of his head, right? In other words, it's not a nice symmetrical line down, but it goes off on a diagonal. Tana, we learned in a braisa, vitzavaro, if your neck is either shakut, shamut, it's either shakut or shamut. Now, what does that mean? Shakut, dechavya machba. It's dislocated. Shamut, the arich v'shamut. Your neck is so long, it almost looks like it's dislocated. All variations of either a poorly shaped head or an elongated neck. These are all different types of blemishes where your eino zarusha aharon. Okay, it's hard, by the way, very hard to visualize, and even harder than that is to quantify, meaning there's got to be some point of where, you know, it's you know, we speak in the world of science when we talk about how different you are from the normal in terms of standard deviation, for those of you who speak a little statistics, meaning, right, so one standard deviation away means that you're within 34% of normal, right? Two standard deviations away, now you're starting to really veer from normal. So I understand the Gemara's not going to talk in such quantifiable terms, but now, obviously, it's got to be more than just a little bit off.
Do you think it's a suspicion that he's not a Kohen?
No, I don't.
If he doesn't match the...
I don't think that's the issue. The issue is, I don't think so.
It's just Maris Ayin, basically.
You see, it's more than that. It's more than that, because Maris Ayin is really its own separate category. It's a third category. Oh. This is a middle category. This is, right, I'm going to just repeat, but I'm not adding any dimension to the understanding. It's Eino Shava Lezerusha Aharon. You don't look like Aharon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe he may not be a Kohen. Otherwise, if you look, you
know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a... I don't think that's a... I don't think it's a concern. I don't... I'm... Right. It's hard to put it into halachic terms. What's wrong with this person? Now, the next thing we talked about in the Mishnah was a hunchback. And there's a machlokas by the hunchback. Meaning, so far in the Mishnah, we covered the kilon, the lifton, the disformed heads, makvan, right? Your head looks like a hammer. Rosho shakut uskifas, right? We talked about a long neck, a dislocated neck. And now we're up to the sixth one in the Mishnah, the bale chataros, the hunchback. Rav Yehuda says it's fine, and the Chachamim says it's pasul. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain this. These be'atzim kuleyam lo pligi de pasla, look. If it's a real protrusion in the back with a bone, there's no debate. That is for sure going to be a physical deformity, which will disqualify. We're talking about where he's a hunchback, but there's no bone over there. It's just an excess amount of flesh. And it kind of looks like a hunchback, but it doesn't have an actual bone. So one position is Eino Shava, meaning that Aaron had a nice straight back, and you have a hunchback, so it's Eino Shava. Umar Sava Karkura de Bisra Ba'amahu, just an extra piece of buster. But no big deal, meaning not enough to disqualify. Again, very difficult to understand what the machlokas is over here, right? If it's a question of appearance, so what difference does it make whether there is a bone, whether there isn't a bone? Maybe it's an issue that if it doesn't have a bone there, it can heal. I'm not really sure. Hakerech pasal. Okay? No offense should be taken by anybody on any of these issues. We are now up to the kereach. We're up to the bold man. So Amar Rav Lo Shana Lo Shein Lo La'achorav V'yesh Lo La'fanav V'yesh Lo La'achorav Kasher. So Lish, the first lashon of Rava is that this discussion of in our Mishnah about a kereach, that's only about talking about where he's totally bald, where he does not even have hair going in the back of his head. V'yesh Lo La'fanav V'yesh Lo La'achorav Kasher. But if he has hair in the back of the head, meaning if he has hair in the front and not in the back, that's abnormal. Meaning abnormal, meaning even those that go bald do not retain the hair in the front and lose the hair in the back. Usually it's they lose the hair on the top and they keep the hair in the back. That's quote unquote normal, meaning that's not a disqualification. The kol shekein sheyesh lo la'achorav ve'ein lo la'fanav. Now, meaning, and if you have hair in the back and you don't have hair in the front, that's fine.
What's the koshkin? It doesn't make sense.
I mean, Rashi says that Tfei Havainoi b'sheish lo lachor v'lo lofan of Yosem echesheish lo saviv kol arosh uve'emtza have kereach. Rashi says, again, this is now aesthetics. So don't ask me, but Rashi says Rashi uses the language of noi. It's more beautiful to have just a strip of hair in the back and nothing in the front than to have a strip of hair in the back, strip of hair in the front, and to have a bald spot in the middle. Okay, that's how Rashi says it. I mean, you can't fault Rashi. I mean, that's really what the Gemara is trying to say. Okay, the Ika Damasni Asefa. Now, some have a second version of Rava, and Rava wasn't qualifying the first part of the Mishnah, but the next part of the Mishnah, which goes Im Yeshlo Hareza Kasher. If you have a strand of hair going from ear to ear, so that's Kasher. Now, Amar Rava on that line of the Mishnah. Now we're going to put Rava's qualification, which is Lo Shana Lo Sheyesh Lo Lachar Ve'en Lo Lafanav. That's only a strand of hair goes to the back, wraps around the back. Aval Yesh Lo Ben Lachar Ve'en Lafanav Pasul. But if you have a wrap around, meaning you have hair going from ear to ear in the back, and you have hair going from ear to ear in the front, and your kereach and your bald spots in the middle, that's pasul. That's no good. But Kol Shekein Sheyesh Lo Lafanav Ve'en Lo Lachar Ve'vadai Lo. And for sure, if you only have a strand going in the front and not in the back, that for sure is going to be pasul. Okay. So basically, two versions of Rava. The first version of Rava is okay with a bald spot in the middle. Meaning here in the front, here in the back, bald spot in the middle. First version Rava is saying that's fine. Second version of Rava is only when the strip of hair goes to the back of the head. Only then is it going to be okay. But if you have a strip of hair in the back, a strip of hair in the front, and the bald spot in the middle, so according to the second version of Rava, that's no good. Okay, Rambam takes the first version of Rava. Am Rav Yochanan. Now we have a statement by Rav Yochanan, Akarchanim v'ananasim v'hazavalganin psulin l'fi she'eino shava b'zara shel Aaron. Three different types of people that he describes. Bald, short people, more than short people, dwarves, and those who have watery eyes. All of them are Enoshav Bezar Shal Aaron. Now, this is a statement made by Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara is annoyed, right? What did he just add to the discussion? Meaning, everything we just talked about is a Mishnah. The Gemara says, Karchanan Taninan, Nanasan Taninan. Kereach, that's a Mishnah. The dwarves is a Mishnah. We haven't seen the Mishnah yet. It's a Mishnah. So what just happened over here? What did he add to the discussion? So the Gemara says, Avaganin it's the Rechlei, Lashmi Inan. No, the Kohen with the runny eyes. Umau detema mishamar sa'ayin. And I might have thought that the watery eyes, that's just an issue of Maris Ayin. Okay. So unseemly to have the Kohen crying all the time, but I might have thought that that's just an issue of Maris Ayin. So v'hal kol dehechadika mishum maris ayin yisnei ketani. So the Gemara says, why would I have thought that? Meaning, the Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. When something is an issue of maris ayin, the Mishnah is going to tip us off by saying it's maris ayin. Like, for example, shenasuri say enav. We're going to see a Mishnah in just a couple minutes from now where your eyelids fall out, your eyelashes fall out. So shenasuri say enav, possibly name maris ayin. And there, it's Mars Ayin. So, Rav Yochanan, you're trying to tell me that the psul is not an issue of Mars Ayin, but again, Rav Yochanan, what do I need that for? The Mishnah is a tip-off. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, I know the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amma tips us off, but it could be that that's just one tip-off. Meaning there may be other Mars Ayin psulim, and the Mishnah didn't tip us off. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. We're going to see a Mishnah later on where the Mishnah says that if your teeth fall out, so that is an issue of Maris Ayin. So
it makes a difference because if it's Maris Ayin, if it does have order, it's good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's right.
It's not even right.
And Maris Ayin is not even Issa Daraisa. Right. So the Gemara says, so again, so you see clearly that the Mishnah, when something's an issue of just Maris Ayin, category 3, the Mishnah tips us off every single time. So again, so we're back to Rav Yochanan. What are you adding to the discussion? Allah fukim ad tanya. So the Gemara says, okay. So you know what Rav Yochanan's doing is he's making sure that we know the halacha does not follow like the following braisa. We have a braisa, de tanya. So there is a braisa that says that fundamentally they're all fine. Your dwarf, your bald person, your runny eye is fine. It's just unseemly, meaning it's Maris Ayin. But fundamentally, they're fine. Man haitan Rav Yehuda hi, detan Rav Yehuda Omer, hakohanim l'rabos ekarchanim. Kohanim include even a kereach, even a bald person. I'm not really sure how that drasha works. Okay, Rashi says you can find this in Torah's Kohanim. Okay, it's a funny drasha. Technically speaking, I'm not sure how it works. But anyway, but the point is that according to that drasha, a kereach is min haTorah good. That's a braisa. And what Rav Yochanan wants us to know is that we don't follow that braisa. A kereach is pasul, ainu shavah lazara shel Aaron. Like a real psul.
What happened to the other two?
And the other two as well.
It's the same.
Right. Meaning real psul. No, the braisa, right. The braisa was quoted. It doesn't talk about that. Okay. Ein lo gevinim o ein lo ela gevin echad zehu gibein ha'amor b'Torah. Okay. The Torah does give us descriptions of certain blemishes regarding a kohen. So one of them is where the kohen is a gibein. Okay. Now, what exactly does the word gibein mean? So that's exactly what our Mishnah is going to try to ascertain. Give me the definition of gibein. Okay. So,
very long.
Right, Rashi and Chumash?
Very long eye.
Rashi here. It's just
a big
eyebrow. Yeah. Phil can understand.
Yeah. Okay, so, the first opinions in the Mishnah is ein lo gevinim, either you don't have eyebrows or ein lo ala gevin echad, or you only have one eyebrow. Again, to use scientific terminology, it's a unibrow. So the zeu gevin ha'amar b'Torah, that's actually the gevin mentioned in the Torah. Rabbi Dosi Amar, shegvinim shokvin. Your eyebrows are so thick, they kind of droop over. So they cover your eyes. Rabbi Chanin ben Tikna says, shnei gavim v'shtei shezra'os. Now, Rabbi Chanin ben Tikna says, no, it has nothing to do with the eyebrows. It has nothing to do with the eyebrows. It is a function of having two spines. Okay.
Two spines.
Right.
That's way different than eyebrows.
Accurate. The
one eyebrow or two spines.
Okay. Just wait 1 second. The gibein dein lamashma v'ribinu. The Gemara says, look, here's what I'm going to object to. You're translating the pasuk in the Chumash with the word gibein, and you're saying that gibein means lack of. If anything, the gibein means excess of, not lack of. V'riminu gibein sheish lo gvinim harbe. Ein lo gvinim o ein lo la gavina chaminayin tamar lomar o gibein. So it's the word gibein does not mean an absence of or a lack of. It means just the opposite, an excess of. And if you only have one eyebrow, if you have no eyebrows, that's learned out from the words o gibein. The O is extra. Yes. Oh, okay, good. So we're going to get to the spine in just a moment. So Amar Rava Zehu Medrash O Givein. So Rava says very simply, yeah, meaning that's the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Givein and talking about an absence of, the Mishnah is, even though you don't see this in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is really focusing on the O Givein. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lamemar Dechaye. Now, we're discussing physical blemishes. You understand the whole idea behind physical blemishes is just a function of, it's a physical abnormality. It is in no way, shape, or form going to endanger the life of this person, right? Having one eyebrow as opposed to two, right? Maybe a little socially awkward, but it's not gonna affect his life, right? Fine. And that's true by any one of these physical deformities that we've been speaking about. So we're saying that the word gibein, according to the second opinion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus says you have two spines. A human being with two spines is not going to live. How do I know that? Mishnah. V'ha'id ma'am apels b'iria sheish lo shnei gibein. I'm sorry, shnei gavin, shnei shadros, v'am arav b'isha in ovlad, b'behema asur b'achila. If a woman, Rachman Lotzlan, gives birth to a baby with a double spine, that is not a viable fetus. It's ain ovlad. It's not a fetus. The woman wouldn't even be a tumas leida. Okay, and by an animal, the animal is not going to be a viable animal. It's an aphel. It's like the animal was born in a vela. So fine, meaning sad. But point being, that can't be what the Torah is talking about when it says the words gibein, because the Torah, by a physical blemish of a Kohen, is not going to be describing somebody who's going to be born and not even considered to be a viable fetus. So the Gemara explains like this. So Rav Shimi bar Achila asks this question to Rav, meaning it's a strong question. But Rav says, Shimi, you're Shimi? Meaning, you're better, Rav was giving him like a little mussar. Right, it's Shimi's his grandson.
Yeah,
right, first time today, we're going to see a second time today where we're going to see this language. Like, you're Shimi? Like, come on, you're better than that. Alabish shadraso akuma. So we're talking about not a Kohen with two spines. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing a Kohen with, it appears as he have two spines. It's so bent over. Now, I would say scoliosis, but scoliosis, it kind of... It's a form of scoliosis, where basically the spine is so bent, it looks like you have two spines. That's a physical abnormality in which the pasuk is describing. Okay, next. Ha-charum pasol. Ezu charum ha-kochel shtei einav ka'achas. The charum is going to be disqualified. What is that? He has no bridge of his nose. In fact, he has so no bridge of his nose that he can paint his eyes with one stroke without anything obstructing going from one eye to the next. That's how lack of bridge we're talking about. Now, I'm going to say the Mishnah like the Gemara will conclude. Although the Gemara is going to have a Havamina about how else to learn the Mishnah, but let's say the Mishnah as it is. Shtei enav lamala. your eyes are in the center of your head. I don't know if you realize this. It's, you know, sometimes a little deceptive, right? Everyone thinks the eyes are like somewhere like on the upper portion of the head. But if you measure from chin to top of the head, your eyes are pretty much centered in the center. So if your eyes are above, meaning they're somewhere where your forehead normally would be, or your eyes are low, or one eye is above and one eye is below, or you're cross-eyed, where you're able to see the first floor and the first floor with one eye, second floor with the other eye. You really do not have binocular vision. Right, just a straight binocular vision. Sachi Shemesh, right? The Gemara is going to translate Sachi over here as like Sani Shemesh. You hate the sun, meaning you when you go outside, you basically can't see, right? You're just so sensitive to sunlight. The Hazad Gan, the Hatsiran Ushenasu Risei Enav Pasul Menemar Sa'ayin. These expressions of the Mishnah, Zad Gan Siran, the Gemara is going to explain them. Or your eyelashes fall out. These are all Maris Ayin issues. Rashi says a Maris Ayin is going on the Nashur Risei Einav. Rashi says it's only going on the last thing mentioned in the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan Charum Shechodmo Shakua Chodmo Shakua. Sorry. Charum is where your nose is sunk in, where again you have no bridge on your nose whatsoever, so it just goes straight across. Chodmo Solad. What if your nose is shriveled? I'll give you a great other place in Shas where we have the word solad, yad solad is bow. Right? In other words, your hand like kind of recoils, retracts when you touch something. So chotmo solad, chotmo bolaim. Your nose is stuffed up, clogged up. not like mine is right now. I guess it means like just no passageway whatsoever. Chotmo no teif. It's long. Rashi says it's so long it goes below your lower lip. It goes below your lip. Minayin tamalomar o charum. Now the Gemara is of the opinion that all this is actually generated from the pasuk. All these deformities of the nose is all generated from the pasuk. Rav Yossi Omer ein charum ela kochos sheinav ka'achas. So Rav Yossi says no. You know what charum is? It's where you can paint your eyes with one stroke, meaning there's such a lack of bridge that you just go right across. Now, obviously, he's deviating from the Tanna Kamma. I could only try to paint a picture in terms of what their Nekuda Machlokas is. It seems from the Tanna Kamma that doesn't have to be that sunken in. And I know, I'm only saying that because of the next line of the Gemara. Amru lo, he flagta. You're exaggerating, meaning that's too much. Right, even if he can't paint his eyes by going running across, if the nose is sunk in, if it's a depressed nose, so that's already considered a blemish.
Talking about guys, so male color, so males used to paint their eyes.
No. It's just a test. It's just a test to see whether or not the nose is sunk in.
I just think if you're awake, guys.
Right, he flocked. Flocked means he exaggerated. I'll give you another place where you right by the mitzvah of a haftar recha kamocha. Just interesting Ramban and Chumash. Right, the there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at the Ramban over there, is a one word explanation. I mean, he elaborates, but he has a one word response to that pasuk in the Torah. You're going to love it. The Ramban and Chumash says that's a haflaga. That's an exaggeration. You're not going. You're not going to, right, you're really going to supposed to love somebody as much as you love yourself? I know, it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, you don't normally hear this from people, so, you know. But the Ramban right away says it's a haflaga, it's just an exaggeration.
Question, on the blemishes, what such a blemish is corrected?
Right, it's a good question. We asked a similar question by the animals, meaning if something's correctable, is that considered a blemish? So over here, I'll tell you, Rashi back in the Mishnah, this is the, the Mishnah pretty much says it also. Not pretty much, the Mishnah does say it. The Mishnah says, Bein Kvuin, Bein Ovrin. That these blemishes that we're discussing, even if they're just passing phases, while they're there, it's considered a blemish.
Yeah,
So, if corrected, I would venture to say, I don't think it's such a stretch that it's fine.
I think if it's because of Manasai and it's corrected, it would be like teeth.
Right. Teeth is interesting, right? No.
But I'm saying if from Manasai, if it's corrected, I would say it's not a real blemish.
It sounds from the Mishnah that if any of these things are corrected, because the Mishnah says Bein Kvu and Bein Ovrin.
So all you have to do is trim your eyebrows.
It seems that way. But I'll tell you what, Aaron, what's interesting is it's such a simple solution. How come?
You wear toupees?
Okay.
You wear toupees, okay.
Right. It's a good question. I don't think so, but.
Well, if you wear, use miracle.
Right. Now, when I read over the Mishnah to you, I told you what is the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to get there. The Gemara is just going to start off with a funny Hava Amina. It's not a fun. It's a fine Hava Amina. It's just not sustainable. Meaning that your eyes always look up. That's the direction of your eyes. And shein of lamala dechazi lamata, or your eyes never center, but eyes always look down. Or one eye looks up, the other eye looks down. The problem with all this is then that next line of the Mishnah is just a repeat. The next line of the Mishnah is, oh, and you see the cheder, and you see the aliyah with each one with one of your eyes. But the Mishnah already said that. So in other words, it's not a bad pshat on the Mishnah. It's just that when you get to that last line now is just repeating what we already saw. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, so that's not the pshat on the Mishnah. What is the pshat on the Mishnah? Okay, so you already know. Shtein of lamala, dekaiman lamala. Shtein of lamata, dekaiman lamata. And eno achas lamala, veno achas lamata, dekaimo eno achas lamala, veno achas lamala, vekaima, lamata. So the first three lines of the Mishnah is that your eyes are actually not in the center of your head, but either both are above, both below, or one's above and one's below. Or even if your eyes are fixed where they normally should be, in the center of your head, but one looks up and the other one looks down.
What happens if I have like a head? One eye looks from far and one looks from close. That's why I really basically
don't glance. Okay, we'll talk about distorted visions coming up in just a moment. Right, you're talking to one person, and another person who's standing right alongside says, "Why? What? He's looking at me." Okay, so in other words, he has that kind of lack of control over one of his eyes. What do they call that? Lazy eye.
Strabismus.
We could use Barry today, or Dr. Paris also, I'm sure, has, you know, he's more informed. Tanu Rabbanan. Iver ben suma b'shtei enav, ben suma ba'achas me'enav. Iver. It could be blind in both eyes, it could be blind in one eye. That's a disqualification. Chavar var v'hamayim akvuim inayin. Now, where in the psukim do we see the chavar var? Chavar var? Your cornea is covered with some sort of spots on them. Okay, Rashi. Rashi's over here. Rashi was earlier. Now Rashi's earlier. Okay, chavarvar is some sort of covering of the cornea. Or you have runny eyes. Tamalamri, ish iver. Amar Rav Alamali, the Kasa Rachmani, ish iver, dak tevalu be'eno. Tzriche. Rava notes that regarding the eye deformities, so the Torah talks about being blind, talks about dak, right? That's some sort of film over the eye, or tevaluba eno, where the white cuts into the black, which we described earlier in the sixth parak. Tzricha, Rava says they're all necessary. Dikas rochmani iver misham dales nu klal. Look, by iver you can't see at all. Avachavavar v'amay mekvum dis nu bay lo. But if by the conditions of chavavar and mayim kvuim, you could see, you just have other deformities of the eye, but your vision is not obscured. So, kasa rachmana ish, vi kasa rachmana ish mishum dol kachaziklal. Ava machzeraisa lo, kasa rachmana dak. What if there's an impairment of the vision, right? What the Gemara refers to as chisaron, that's what dak is coming to teach me. that an impaired vision is also not going to be good. Now, it's interesting. Impaired vision over here, I don't know if we're talking about the kind of impaired vision that most of us in this room experience, which is, you know, our muscles weaken and we can't focus our lens well. I doubt, because Doc over here, here's the Rashi. Doc Tila, Machzaras Hamara Ve'eno Nital, right? A lack of vision, but it's almost like a film develops over the cornea, what we would call something like a cataract. So the Kasarachmana Doc Mishum de Mechasran Ava Mivalesa Lo Kasarachmana Tivalul. Now, Doc is where there's an actual obstruction of the eye. But what if there's just simply a running of the white into the black? Okay? Dr. Parrish tried to explain this to me, how the white runs into the black. I don't fully understand this. But anyway, but what if there's a mixture of the white and the black? So that's why I might not have thought that should be included, because your vision is not obstructed. You don't have a film over your cornea. You're not blind. So I might have thought that's okay. So tivalul. Because Rechmana Tivalo Mishum de Mavavel and Aval Mishum Mashniusalo, Kasa Rechmana Be'eno. If I just said Tivalo, well, there you have white actually running into the black. But if your eye looks fine, you just have a lack of vision, so that's why I need Be'eno. I'm a Rava Hilkach. Ko Machmas Kiyusa Asya Mi'ish. If your strength of vision is actually diminished, right? So that's learned out from the words Ish. Machzu Yerusa, an impairment of vision, because you have some cloud or some film over your cornea, that's Dak. And Mivavalisa, Mitivalul. And Mashnayusa, and any actual change of the eye, that's Eino. Okay, so Rava basically gives us four different categories of eye impairment. Sachi Shemesh, Tini Rav Yosef, Sani Shemesh. Of no coincidence, I believe that Rav Yosef is the one telling us this. Rav Yosef is blind, right? He lost his vision on account of an illness that he suffered over his life. So, Sani Shemesh, he hates the sun. Such a high sensitivity to light, he goes outside, he can't see outside. Zagdayayan, Machvi Ravuna, Chad Mididan, V'chad Mididhu. So, what is this condition of Zagdayayan? So, Ravuna shows, basically, it's like putting my eye and your eye together in one person, asymmetrical, seems to be that's what he's trying to describe. The Ikbet Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda got upset, right? He got angry. Right, and Rashi points out Rav Huna got angry because Rav Huna was standing right there and his eyes looked strange. His eyes looked different than one another. Okay, so by no, you know, I'm not trying to offend anyone in this room, but you know, whenever you talk about these types of blemishes, people are going to get offended. So meisvei shechvana shegvinav shochvim, right? where your eyebrows are so thick that they just rest right over your eyes, and zagdum echa shechor ve'echa lavan. One eye is black and the other one is white. Now, I'm not 100% sure. What are we trying to describe over here? Meaning they're different color eyes?
Yeah, no, different color eyebrows.
Oh, that's better. Right, one eyebrow is white and the other one is black. Tana kol zuga delo shavel adade zagdum karile. Anytime that your eyes do not look uniform, they do not match one another, that's zagdum. Right, hatsiran enough trutos. Itsiran is where your eyes are round, rounded eyes. Am I correct? When Hillel was asked those questions, right, by the person who wanted him to lose his patience, right? So one of the questions, right, one of those questions is, why do the Babylonians have round eyes, right? And if I'm not mistaken, I think the word is used is this word over here of trutos. Okay, enough true toast. Vitsironis domos. Tsironis, your eyes tear all the time. Dolphos, tordos. This is even more, right? Like really runny eyes. Tana, hazadir v'alufin v'hatamir zavid demazi ene.
Revolving eyes.
right? Right, your eyes are moving, your eyes are right, always running around. Lufin de nefishin zifei. What does that mean? Really? Okay, and tamir shetamo zifin. And what is this? Tamo zifin? Your eyes dried up?
No eyelashes.
Oh, no eyelashes. So the Gemara says, now these are all by blemishes. Now, what bothers the Gemara now at this point in time is everything we just described is in category 2. Problem is that we just read the end of that Mishnah on the bottom of the previous Amud, and that Mishnah puts it all in category 3.
Right.
Or at least the missing eyelashes is not category 2, but category 3, just Mar Sayin. Lokasha had ishtayer gardume, had lo ishtayer gardume. Depends. Are the roots there or are the roots not there? Ishtayer gardume, if the roots are still there, that's not a blemish. That's a Mar Sayin issue. Right? But if the... If the roots are gone, that's a category 2. That's your puzzle in a Torah. Okay. Einav gedolos, we start now, we're up to the next Mishnah. Your eyes are so large, kishel egel, big as a calf. O kitanos kishel ivez, your eyes are so small, they are like geese eyes. Gufo gadol me'evarav, o katon me'evarav. What's the term? Right, where your disproportionate body, right?
Your body is not proportionate.
Your body is not proportionate, right? The short arms. I have a, huh? Dysmorphic. I have a term going back to my biology days, but I don't remember. Your nose is too big. Your nose is too small. Hatsomeim v'atsomea. Okay, terms. Mishnah's going to explain these terms. Ezut somea kol sha'aznav ketanos. Yours are too small. Hatsomeim kol sha'aznav domav l'sfug. Kind of like cauliflower ears. Sfaso al yona odofes al tachtona. Your upper lip is protruding over your lower lip. Hatachtona odofes al yona. Your lower lip protrudes beyond your upper lip. Harizemum. Vishenashu shinav pasul mimne mars ayin. Or if your teeth fall out, so that's a Mar Sayin issue. Yeah? I saw over here, he asked a good question. Right? He asked a good question. He quotes the Avnei Nezer. He quotes others as well. Right? Your teeth fall out, that's Mar Sayin. Right? If you go back to the sixth parak, you remember? We talked about how the animal whose teeth fell out, right? So it's funny, the Mishnah over here talks about the Kohen who has no teeth. That's category 3. Meanwhile, if your teeth fall out, that should be like category 1. Okay. Huh? You saw, you're right. You saw. Okay, you saw. So the, okay. So, okay. All right, moment is okay. Amarav. Moshe Rabbeinu Asar Amosaya. Okay. Great piece of Agarata Halacha. Sounds like we're in both worlds right now. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. You want to try to put that into terms that we relate to. An amma is somewhere between a foot and a half to 2 feet. And now, if you go with the extremity of 2 feet, so that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was 20 foot tall. Okay? That's a lot. Even at a foot and a half, that makes Moshe now 15 feet tall. Right. Right. Yeah, right. It makes him extraordinarily tall. Shenemar vayifrosas ha'ohel al hamishkan. Now, the Gemara over here, I said, the Gemara is a gadat or halacha. It sounds like the Gemara over here is speaking literally, not metaphorically. Why do I say that? Because, look, the Gemara is going to tell us now, he put the spread over the ohel. So, mi parso, Moshe Rabbeinu parso, v'ksiv esra amos arecha keres. Now, we know that the Mishkan was 10 amos high. And he put it on. It sounds like he put it on over the top. He would have been very useful when I built my sukkah, meaning, I'm saying, or even last night when I lit the menorah in shul, I had to stand on a chair. I mean, I'm saying, he would have been extraordinarily helpful. Rav Shimei Bar Chiya, Rav, Im Kena, Sisal Moshe Rabbeinu, Bamum did not gufa gadol me'avarav katam me'avarav. Now it's interesting. The Gemara has a funny havamina. Shimi again, right? Right. He has a funny havamina, which is assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu was that tall, but his arms didn't coordinate with that height. So again, I'm relay shimiat, same response, like second time today. Come on. But Amashal Kereshamar, Kamar, meaning everything was proportionate. His body and his arms were all proportionate. Chotmo gadol tana ke'etzpa ketana. How big is your nose? Ke'etzpa ketana, it's as long as your pinky. I know everyone's going to measure now. Resist the temptation. Hatzimein v'hatzimea tana. Af hatzimeach lo hava yadei rabbanim hatzimeach. Now, the chachamim heard that term tzimeach, and they don't know what that is. Shamulahu tayyida hava ka'amar. So they listened to an Arab merchant who was talking, and he said, "Man de'amay tzimeach." Right? Who wants tzimeach? What's he selling? So everyone in the base medrash is now running out because, oh my gosh, we're finally going to learn what the word tzimeach is. V'shakech gaja chaziza. And they saw a goat whose ears were so large, they were kind of like flapped over. Okay, so tzimeach, your ears are too big. Amrav chista eisha ein lo karnaim, v'rachel sheish lo karnaim, k'sherim legabe mizbeach. You have a goat that doesn't have karnaim. Okay, no horns. Or a sheep that does not have karnaim, k'sherim legabe mizbeach, tanya namihachi. Another fun fact I learned on the farm from Monday's trip, which is, you know the cows don't have horns. Cows do have horns. Huh?
Yeah.
No, even the cows. They dehorn them. And they do it for the safety of the cows because they don't want the cows to hurt one another because, you know, the cows are kept in a very confined area. So they dehorn all the cows on the farm. So he says it's like one of those moments where the cow, like, learns to be afraid. And, you know, they have to do it. I don't think they have much of a choice in the matter, but it really turns the cows into skittish animals. So anyway, so k'shem l'gabi mizbech. So, still kosher. Tanya namehachi yishtvarim she'en k'mumim ve'enem k'mumim v'shochtem alayim b'mitzvah shavu lo b'medina. Ve'elohein eish she'en lo karnayim v'racho she'esh lo karnayim v'etzimech v'etzimem v'etzamea. So all these things are not real blemishes. Meaning if you lose your horns, So that's not a real blemish. Amar chista, amar amemar, not lukarna, no sova zachrusani mahem, psula. What if you take the horn and the bone on the head that actually connects the horn to the body? So that's too much. Right? The Gemara calls that the zachrus, right? The male portion, if you will. Meaning that there's a bone that protrudes out of the head that actually is attached to the horn. Vein podan malehem, not lutla, fine vizachrusani mahem, psulin. If you take the hooves off the feet, that's also pasul. V'niftin aleihem. In fact, that's such a psul, that's a physical blemish. I mean, you could actually be poda. Meitzvei, not lo karnav v'tal afayim v'zach v'sam em psulim v'niftin aleihem. Lo kasha, hadit akur itakuri hada agmu agume. Depends how much of it you take off. If you're ma'akir, if you really uproot the bone, that's mamish a psul, you can even be poda. If you just shave it down, that's not a psul agamre. The Gemara says, what if you have a cow, paraduma, where the horns and the hooves are black? So interesting. I thought that the requirement of red is only on the hair. And it sounds like, from what we're about to learn, it's a Mishnah Para, that everything has to be red, including the horn, including the hooves. And
some black hair on top of it.
You could cut it off. So what we're now going to learn is with the black horns and the black hooves, give it a little haircut. I don't mean haircut over here. I mean, you know, cut. Tirgam u'ziri mi'ilui zachros. So Ziri says that the it's only black on the tip. So, right, Rashi says, shtayim v'shalosh etzbaos, 2 or 3 inches. Ein zachrus magia sham ve'im ha-shachrur ein magia ad makom ha-zachrus yachvach aval yosu mekam psula. So in other words, there's just black tips of the horn, black tip of the hooves. So there you just cut it off and that's fine, that's totally fine. If however it goes to the stump, so that you cannot cut off, that would actually be a psula. Okay. Okay, we didn't get to our Audi. Okay, a lot to look forward to. Okay, tomorrow we start in the Mishnah on the top of Memdal Amud Beis. Okay, and a lot of interesting Gemaras coming up tomorrow. Okay, I don't have to tell you to come back, but please come back tomorrow. Get to cover some of the more interesting blemishes, physical deformities of the human being.